One. Welcome to a discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom, objectivist perspective on rational self-interest, laissez-faire capitalism, and individual rights. Yaron Brook, executive director of the Ayn Rand Institute, invites you to the conversation. The Yaron Brook Show starts now on AM 560, The Answer.
So this week, in the aftermath of the horrible massacre that happened in Orlando, it became clear in very real terms to me, and I think to many people who agree with me, how different, how isolated my point of view is in the world out there. When I look at the responses to Orlando, there is nobody out there that I can relate to. There is nobody out there that I agree with. I look at the response from the typical left. Oh, well, this is what happens when you allow to sell guns, when, you know, guns are what kill, right? And it's all homophobia. And this guy was a crazy guy, and what can you do? And really, this is a hate crime. It's all about hate crime. No mention of the fact that this guy was radicalized by Islam, that Islam had anything to do with this. No mention of the fact that somebody has to pull a trigger on a gun. It's the person who kills. No mention of what can be done to stop this. Really? Selling, you know, banning guns, that's going to stop these kind of things? Bad guys can always get guns. But that's all we heard from the left. President Obama, you had to drag out of him any mention, any possible reference to maybe this has an ideological cause and that the enemy is out there. They're trying to kill Americans and that we can actually do something about it. No, God forbid. Complete evasion of reality. Completely ignoring the facts. Complete putting their wishes ahead of everything else. Right? There's no enemy. Yeah, what can you do? These things happen. 50 Americans, 49 Americans shot point blank by an evil SOB. And we blame the gun. We blame homophobia. God forbid we blame the actual ideology. Now, the guy was homophobic. But even that is connected to his ideology. He was probably gay himself. And yet he adheres to ideology, Islam, that says that being gay is evil and that gays should be killed. And he was struggling with this fact, probably. I mean, I'm not no psychologist, but that's what it looked like. But you can't just eviscerate the ideological element here. Indeed, there are a lot of people who hate gays and don't go into nightclubs and shoot them up and kill 49 people point blank over hours with time to text his wife and to call in and to, you know, that's how, in a sense, relaxed he was about the whole thing. The guy was evil and sick and crazy and motivated by an evil and sick and crazy ideology. Jihadism, Islamism, radical Islam, Islamic totalitarianism. I don't really care what you call it, as long as we identify what it is and who is responsible. But no, the left refuses to do that. You know, so, you know, I ain't the leftist, turns out. Surprise, surprise. But then you look at the right. And what was the right's response? Right? Oh, first of all, they wanted to fight over guns, right? As if that is the real crux of the issue here, the real issue. No, everybody should be able to walk in with buy an AR-15, who cares, so on. You know, they would do away with background checks. So guns are irrelevant suddenly. Hey, you know, I believe in the right to bear arms, but I also believe that the government, in its job as protector, as police, has responsibility to do background checks and to make sure that nutcases like this guy don't get their hands on AR-15 and don't act as security guards. I don't know how any security guard company could hire this nut job. If you read a little bit about his history, this was, you know, the guy was obviously a violent, crazy person and has a long history of such violence. Not, and then All you have to do is take that person and this ideology, an ideology that sanctions violence, that says you get rewarded for the violence, an ideology that says that you go to heaven because of the violence, and you get what happened at the nightclub. But it was, but almost no discussion of the ideology, because again, they don't know what to do about it. Lots of discussion about we should be monitoring Americans more. We need to give more power to the NSA, more power to the FBI, as if we are the problem. They need to listen to my phone calls in order to prevent terrorism. That was, I was watching Fox News all of Sunday after the shooting, and all you heard was one expert coming up after the other expert about how we need more surveillance. We need to become more of a surveillance state. We need to do away with civil liberties. Really? So we need to do away with civil liberties, and we need to encourage people to buy guns. I mean, that's the right. And of course, Donald Trump wants to ban all Muslims from entering the United States. What does that have to do with anything? Right? This guy was born in the United States. The San Bernardino shooter was born in the United States. What are you going to do about these guys? What are you going to do about this problem? Nothing. What are you going to do about the ideology? Yeah, at least the Republicans will, or some people on the right will name the ideology. They call it radical Islam, whatever, right? They at least name it. Good for them. What are you going to do about it? Who are you going to go after? How are you going to stop it? We are at war. No, you can tell anybody's at war from this week's commentary. No. Nobody. I mean, maybe ISIS, maybe a little bit. We should bomb them more. I think a number of people say we should bomb. Really? That's going to save the day? We should bomb ISIS more? That's the solution you got? I am, you know, it's a complete, murky, unprincipled, unguided position which conservatives and the people on the right have. Complete mess. We should work more closely with Saudi Arabia. Really? I'll get to Saudi Arabia in a minute. This is conservatives and liberals. This is what they have to offer. And what infuriates me is this is 15 years after 9/11. 15 years after 9/11. Dozens of terrorist attacks in America, in France, other places in Europe, in England, in Spain. And this is what it is. Guns, no guns, you know, more surveillance, and let's ban Muslim immigration. Those are the solutions. I mean, what we have today is a right and a left who stand for nothing, who have no real coherent ideology, right? The left is the negation of ideology. They want us to just lay down and play dead and destroy ourselves. They want us to commit suicide. The right has this false sense, oh, we're pro-America and there's an enemy out there, but they have no clue who to fight and how to evaluate the circumstances and how to evaluate. They have no logic, no rationality, no way to examine what's going on. And then, of course, there are the libertarians. So, you know, I was wondering, what's Gary Johnson, the libertarian presidential candidate, going to say about this? And completely predictably, he said, well, it's really our fault, right? Because we drop bombs on them. We get involved. You know, we are the recruiting tool to ISIS. It's us. It's our fault. That's what happened in 9/11. It's our fault. This is what Ron Paul was, you know, used to say. And this is what is still the libertarian line. So I am no liberal. Well, I'm no leftist. I'm no liberal. I'm not a conservative. I can't think like one. I don't understand this banning immigration. I don't understand this single-minded focus on the Second Amendment, devout of any context of anything else. And I don't understand this weakness, this unbelievable weakness. The other thing about the conservatives is they go after Obama constantly about not calling the enemy radical Islam. Good for them. They should do that. But does anybody remember that George Bush never said it either? There was a week. Right, let me correct myself. There was a week. There was a week in which he said that he called them Islamo-fascists. But that's it. 1 week. And then he returned to calling it a war on terrorism. Ooh, that's effective, a war on terrorism. Weakness. Weakness. Not understanding the role of ideas, of ideology. Not understanding who the real enemy is and what the real players are. And this is what conservatives do, and then they go after Obama. They don't have the objectivity, the courage to go after Bush. Where were they after 9/11 when Bush declared Islam a religion of peace? When he hugged and schmoozed with the Saudi ambassador and the Saudi crown prince? Where were they criticizing him then? I was criticizing them because I'm not a conservative. I'm not a lefty. I'm not a libertarian. I'm an objectivist. I'm different. As you'll hear when we get back after these messages, I want to go out there and win this war.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the North State Steel Traffic Center.
I'm Alex Dupree, taking a look at traffic. Keep in mind, it's another big weekend for festivals. Randolph, both ways between Peoria and Racine, shut down for a Taste of Randolph till early Monday morning. Also, for another hour or so, closed for the Puerto Rican People's Parade Division, both ways between Holman and Damon. CTA rerouting number 52 and 70 buses in the meantime. Inbound Edens Lake Hook to the junction at 35. The reverse looks good at 21. Kennedy Inno here to downtown, 43 from the junction, 21. Flip it 12 to the junction, 38 to the airport. Express lanes look pretty good. Ike in from 53, that's a 48-minute trip from Mannheim 31. Just keep an eye out. There's a report of a stall in the center lane at 25th. The outbound ride, accident center lane at Laramie, and the trip out to Mannheim 33 to 5346. It's 83 and partly sunny tonight, 69 and clear. Tomorrow, 88 and sunny. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You wake up in the morning, and you want to know what's going on. And what happened while you were asleep? You could grab your smartphone and wade through endless cat videos. Or you could listen to that other radio station, you know, that's talking about last night's ball game.
Winning records for starting pitchers matter anymore.
Or you could turn on Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson and get up to speed fast with the latest news, traffic, and weather on AM 560. The Answer.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there is a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
Raj Shah, host of Secure Retirement Radio.
You don't have to go underwater anymore. You don't need to go down in that hole with your portfolio and dig yourself out. You can actually put a floor so you never go down ever again and get into a strategy where you just continue to make growth so not only that your principal is protected, but whatever gains you make, those are protected as well.
Tune in for Secure Retirement Radio with Raj Shah, Sunday mornings at 7 here on AM 560, The Answer.
Jimmy, you didn't turn off the lights in your room. Conservation now, Jimmy, so you'll have energy later. That was then. In today's forest preserves of Cook County, conservation is about turning things on, not off. Turn on curiosity and explore the outdoors. Turn on restoration and save habitats. Turn on volunteerism and protect nature. See why the forest preserves are a real turn-on. Visit fpdcc.com. This message is sponsored by the Forest Preserves of Cook County.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560, The Answer.
So as I said, I'm an objectivist. I don't take to cowering before my enemy. I don't take to ignoring the facts of reality. I don't take to being meek and weak. The United States is the mightiest country in the world with the mightiest military force in the world. The United States has the best military in human history, the best soldiers, the best equipment, the best weapons. And yet, we allow a bunch of barbarians to incite violence in this country, to kill Americans all over the world, and we do nothing. We do nothing. See, objectivism believes in looking at reality as it is, looking at the facts, looking at what actually is, not what you wish it to be, not what you imagine it to be, not what you want to pretend it to be, but to look at the facts. And the facts are very simple. Since 1979, hundreds of Americans, thousands of Americans have been killed by terrorist attacks, all motivated by one ideology, the ideology of jihadism, the ideology of Islamic totalitarianism. It's an ideology that believes in controlling the world and taking over the world in the name of Islam. Now, I am not a theologian. I don't care whether Islam, true Islam, is consistent or inconsistent with violence. That is irrelevant. Of course, it's consistent with violence. At the end of the day, all religion is. But certainly Islam is. Islam was built on violence. But that's not the point. The point is not to argue about Islam this, Islam that. The point is that there are people out there, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of people, who believe that their purpose on this planet is to go out there and fight jihad for Islam, to take over the world, to become the dominating power in the world, and that it's okay to kill anybody, anywhere, at any time in order to achieve that mission. And if that means flying airplanes into buildings, so be it. If that means blowing themselves up at a coffee shop, so be it. If that means going into a publisher's house and shooting up some cartoonists for drawing Muhammad, so be it. And that means going into a nightclub in Orlando, a gay nightclub, and shooting up a bunch of innocent people. Nobody's innocent, according to them. Nobody's innocent. You're either part of them, you're either one of them, or you are the enemy. Or you are the enemy. Those are all facts. That's not opinion. That's just fact. You can all you have to do is read what they write. All you have to do is listen to what they preach. All you have to do is see what they do. All these terrorist acts committed in the name of a specific ideology. Yeah, there's some variations. Some pledge allegiance to Al-Qaeda. Some pledge allegiance to ISIS. Some pledge allegiance to Hezbollah. Some are Shiite. Some are Sunni. But all share the same vision. All share the same vision. All are motivated by what they view as the truth of their religion. And yet, we pretend it's guns. We pretend it's immigrants. We pretend that it's our fault. That's what the libertarians pretend. So let me be clear. Let me be clear. And this is going to be a theme on this radio show. I am not a leftist, but I am not a rightist. Not if right means conservative. And I am no libertarian. Not if libertarians mean, no, it's our fault, sorry, but please don't kill us. Libertarians have this supposedly historical story about the evils of America, which is, if you know anything about the Middle East, if you've ever been there, if you've ever studied its history, is complete and utter garbage. The left, by the way, shares this with the libertarians, or many on the left, who argue that it's all our fault. It's always America's fault. No, it's not. There's actually a group of people out there who believe that they are destined by Allah, by God, to take over the world, to control the world, and they will do anything in order to achieve that goal. And we better recognize that. We better accept that. And then the question is, once you accept that, and once you realize that's what's going on, and that, yeah, they can radicalize somebody from afar, because it doesn't take much to radicalize a nihilistic kook like this Martin guy who shot up in Orlando. He was a homophobe already. as I said, probably gay, who couldn't deal with the fact that he was gay. He was crazy, has a history of violence, a history of associating himself with, during 9/11, this Martine guy actually cheered and jumped up and down. I don't think it's because in those days he was a radicalized Muslim, but I think because in those days he was just a nihilistic SOB, and he just relished in violence. But if you combine that, that there are people out there who are crazy, there are people out there who are violent, and this guy had a history of violence, not to this extent, obviously, but a history of violence, a history of instability, and you add it with a sanction to kill, permission to kill, reward for killing, well, sure, you're going to radicalize from afar, but that sanction is given by somebody, and that sanction is given by today, by this ideology. So what do you do? What do you do? How do you deal with an ideology like this, right? Everybody says they're nowhere, right? It's everywhere. They're nowhere and everywhere. Who do we go after? It's not like World War II where there was a clear enemy. It was Germany and there was Japan. So what do we do? Well, this is what I would do. And this is what I said right after 9/11. This is what I suggested a president of the United States should do right after 9/11. I would make a list. Immediately after 9/11, we should have made a list. And that list should be all the countries that support this ideology. All the countries that fund this ideology. All the countries where this ideology is preached and that preaching is encouraged by the government. Right, make a list. Then I would make a list of all the organizations that advocate this, that fund this ideology, that fight for this ideology, that use violence in the name of this ideology. There's another list, two lists. And then I destroy them all. And again, the United States could do that. We have this amazing military force. All right, if you want in on this conversation, I know I'm on a rant today. I'm really, because this is an issue that really, it's just unbelievable to me that America, the greatest country in human history, the mightiest military force in human history, succumbs to these things and does nothing, nothing, nothing. And if you think the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan were response to 9/11, an adequate response to 9/11, you haven't been, where have you been the last 15 years? They did nothing. Because they went after, it was the wrong targets, the wrong people. All right, if you want in on this conversation, 312-642-5600, 312-642-5600. What did Iraq have to do with this? This is another, why I'm not a conservative moment, right? They can't think. Conservatives don't think. Okay, so we're attacked by radical Islamists. Religious people who are committed to the Quran and to bringing jihad to the world and committed to establishing Sharia on the planet. Okay, so let's go after a secular dictator, an evil man. Saddam Hussein's an evil man. I have no problem getting rid of him. But what's that going to have to do with 9/11? What's that have to do with the enemy that we're still fighting? Nothing. So we got rid of a secular dictator, bad guy, but who was probably, because he was such an evil dictator, holding back the Islamist forces. Right? And then we go to Afghanistan. And when we go to Afghanistan, we drop food packages before we drop the bombs. We want to feed our enemies before we kill them. We don't really go after Bin Laden. We don't really go after Al-Qaeda. We come there to nation building. We're still there. 15 years later, we're still in Afghanistan. The president has just loosened up some of the rules of engagement in Afghanistan because they were so pathetic up until now. What are we doing? What are we doing? This isn't a war. They're killing us. They know it's a war. But we're pretending. We're building nations with nations who don't want us to build them. And, of course, the Taliban is on the rise in Afghanistan. So Iraq's a disaster. Afghanistan is a disaster. The whole war is a disaster because we won't identify the enemy and we won't seek to crush him. I'll be right back after these messages.
There's a lot going on in the world.
A crazy election, international terrorism, a rocky economy, a state budget crisis.
Meanwhile, you're busy. Too busy to wait for some goofy talk show host at another radio station to finish talking about last night's baseball game or yesterday's viral internet video. You need information and what it means. Now, you need answers. That's why we're here, with only the news, opinion, and insight you need. This is AM 560, The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Jane Metzler. Wildfires burning in several western states. One in Santa Barbara County, California, threatens some 300 homes.
The fire is currently 7,648 acres and 45% contained. And we have over 1,900 personnel currently fighting the fire.
Fire incident spokeswoman Michelle Carbonaro. Fires also burning in central Arizona and New Mexico. Protesters gathered outside a Donald Trump rally in Las Vegas, Trump praising police for keeping the peace. A Chicago singer who appeared on Mexico's version of The Voice, shot three times in the head and critically wounded in an ambush on that city's south side. The shooting of 45-year-old Alejandro Fuentes comes less than a week after former American Voice finalist Christina Grimmie was killed in Orlando. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the North State Steel Traffic Center.
I'm Alex Dufree taking a look at traffic. If you're moving about the northwest side, there's a closure for the Six Corners Barbecue Fest. That's Milwaukee both ways between Irving Park and Berteau. That's till 6 a.m. Monday morning. CTA is also rerouting number 56 buses. Eden's inbound Lake Cook to the junction at 35. The flip just fine. Kennedy Yano here to downtown 43 from the junction 21. The reverse is better to the junction at 12. 38 to the airport and 10 in those express lanes. Eichen from 53. Need to keep in mind at 25th, there's a stall still being reported in the center lane, but it's a 48-minute trip all the way in. And then from Mannheim 31 back out to Mannheim 33, 46 to 53. Accident has been moved off to the right shoulder at Laramie, so not blocking any of those travel lanes there anymore. Bad news, Lakeshore Drive southbound approaching north to Chicago. Everything's halted. 83 partly sunny right now in Chicago. Tonight 69 and clear. Tomorrow 88 and sunny. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority? Or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Roark, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Roark, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today in Amazon.com. The Ayn Rand Institute campus is an exciting online destination offering free e-courses on Ayn Rand and her revolutionary philosophy of objectivism. Whether you recently picked up your first Rand book or have been reading her novels and nonfiction for years, ARI Campus has something for you. On campus, you'll discover a variety of multimedia courses covering Rand's literary classics, specific aspects of thought, and how to apply her ideas to your life. Get started today at campus.aynrand.org. See you on campus.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
Raise your hand if you think you know what identity theft is. Just kidding. This is a radio commercial. We can't tell if your hand is up. But we can tell you that if you think identity theft is when someone adds charges to your credit card, you're only partially right. Identity theft is when someone pretends to be you, to open new accounts in your name, or any number of other bad things. That's where LifeLock can help. We use proprietary technology to detect and alert you to a whole range of identity threats. And if you have a problem, our U.S.-based team of specialists will work to fix it. You'll get more protection with LifeLock than you get from free credit monitoring alone. Obviously, no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock is the best identity theft protection available. Join LifeLock right now and get a special 15% discount off your first year. Visit LifeLock.com and use promo code 15OFF. That's 15OFF to take advantage of an incredible 15% discount off your first year. Act now. Offer ends July 3rd. Go to LifeLock.com and enter promo code 15OFF. LifeLock.
No traditional conservative view, nor the standard libertarian ones. Welcome back to the discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. This is the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560, The Answer.
Yeah, certainly nothing you've heard today is traditional conservative or, you know, regular libertarian view. This is a uniquely objectivist view. Not only that we should define the enemy, know who he is, and go out and destroy him, and I'll talk more about that in a little while, but also that when you do that, or if you don't do that especially, you don't then start monitoring all of us and reduce our freedoms as individuals. Sean wants to talk about this, about the real threat to all of our, you know, to all of our civil liberties that these politicians wants to institute. Go ahead, Sean.
So, Yaron, what amazes me as I watch this other, the reaction to the cult of Islam and what happens, it reminds me of Rahm Emanuel's expression, never let a tragedy or go unwasted. And it's, politics is an unusual creation. It is the only occupation or whatever it is you'd like to call it on the face of the earth where the more you fail, the more power you get, the bigger of a position you get, the more rights you get to take away from those who you claim to represent. And to me, what is despicable in all of this is that for no reason whatsoever, no matter how you approach this, should any of this tragedy be an excuse, be a catalyst for our rights to be usurped by politicians, Yaron, in the most offensive part, sconced in security guards. From little Dick Durbin all the way up to Barack, I can't tie my own shoes, Obama. These are guys with teams of security staff that for all intents and purposes have never driven their own vehicle in years. They're going to tell us what our rights are, our unalienable rights, which means I don't need Donald Trump to say he's going to protect them either, because they can't take them away and Trump can't give them to me.
The thing is, the left wants to take our right to bear arms away from us, and the right wants to take our right to privacy or to any kind of, they want a surveillance state. They want to regulate all of us, and they want to build walls and control who we interact with. Both sides are very, very scary.
And who are these, and what is government, I've always asked this of people, what is government made up of? It is made up of only people. Why should another man have the right to decide what are your rights? That's not how it works. You don't get to decide what are my rights and what are my rights are not. They're mine. I tell you what they are. You don't tell me.
Absolutely. I mean, this is thanks, Sean. Thanks for calling, because this is a great philosophical point. Because, look, this goes back to the difference I see, the fundamental difference between me, Sean, and basically the world out there. Is that I believe that every individual has the capacity, the ability, through the use of his own reason, and therefore has the inalienable right to pursue the values that they believe are necessary for their own existence. As long as they're not shooting somebody else, as long as they're not harming other people's rights, you have a right to live your life in a way that'll make you successful and happy and prosperous. And the other side believes that you're too stupid to be able to take care of yourself. You're too stupid to be able to manage your own life and your own happiness. And therefore, they need to dictate to you. They need to tell you. They need to organize for you. The one role of government, the only role of government, is to protect us from these nutcases, from these ideologically driven, nihilistic nuts who want to kill us. That's it. Government is not there to control my life. Government is not there to tell Sean what he should and shouldn't eat, what he should and shouldn't drive, how much he should and shouldn't pay his employees, what kind of businesses he should and shouldn't, should or shouldn't start. It's none of government's business. The one thing government's supposed to do, the one thing they're supposed to do is protect us from the violent criminals in Chicago who are shooting up your city. It's nuts, right? And many of you are not even allowed to defend yourselves. From the craziness going on in the streets of Chicago to the bigger threat, in a sense, which is this Islamist threat, where they want to kill on a much bigger scale, and they want to kill just for the sake of killing, not even because they're some kind of, you know, drug trade war thing, but just for the sake of killing because they want to go to heaven. The government's job is to protect us from all these gangs, all these bad guys. And there are not that many of them, and it's not that hard to do. Not that hard to do. After the break, I'll tell you how I would do it with regard to the Islamists. But this is the one thing instead. This is the one thing they're supposed to do. This is the job of Congress and the politicians, is to make sure that our lives are safe. Not by violating our rights, but by protecting us. And they don't do it. They don't do it. Instead, they want to run our lives. They want to tell us what we can and cannot do, how we should and shouldn't live. They want to tell us what to pay our employees, how to do our financial transactions. They want to be in every aspect of our lives, whether we should own a home or rent. Everything. They want to control us rather than protect us. It's a complete perversion of the American form of government. All right, when we get back, I'll tell you what I would do in the Middle East. You're listening to the Ron Brooks Show. We'll be right back.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the North States Steel Traffic Center.
I'm Alex Dupree, taking a look at traffic. The inbound Eden's a bit tight from Dempster to the Junction. Lincoln to the Junction is 33 minutes. The reverse looks good. Kennedy Inno here to downtown at 42 from the Junction 20. Flip it. It's now 11 to the Junction and 33 to the airport and 10 in the express lane. Eichen from 53 at 45 from Mannheim 29. The same back out to Mannheim and then 41 to 53. Stevenson in 355 to the Drive, 46 from the Tri-State, 33 from Cicero 15. Back out to Cicero 17 to the Tri-State 31 to 355 41. The Ryan in from 95th at 18, the reverse 21. Lakeshore Drive southbound, Fullerton to Chicago, 18th to the Stevenson. Things start to clog a bit in northbound between Wacker and Chicago. It's 83 and partly sunny in Chicago. Tonight 69 and clear. Tomorrow 88 and sunny. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
For 30 years, the Ayn Rand Institute has been on the front lines of the culture wars, introducing millions of students to Ayn Rand's books and ideas, educating young intellectuals who now teach at universities around the world, and speaking out in defense of free speech, free markets, free minds. You can join their battle for reason, individualism, and capitalism here in Chicago and around the nation by making your contribution today at AynRand.org/support. That's AYNRAND.org/SUPPORT.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there is a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
World, say hello to some old friends. It's been a long time, but they remember you. They're my toes, and they've been hidden ever since I got nail fungus. Yeah, nail fungus. I know, embarrassing, right? Really ugly stuff that I just couldn't get rid of. Tried several doctors, took pills, creams, even considered surgery. Of course, with that, you lose your nail, and there's no guarantee that the fungus won't come back. So I tried Clear Touch. Clear Touch is a little handheld device you use at home. It's painless because it uses light. Yes, light to travel fast and deep. Can't believe I went so long hiding my toes when this simple, inexpensive solution was waiting right there at Clear Touch. Clear Touch is even cleared by the FDA because it's safe and works. Yeah, my toes saw the light. So, world, I'd appreciate it if you could pass the word about Clear Touch, the phototherapy solution that works. Call 800-279-7573. That's 800-279-7573. That's 800-279-7573 or cleartouchnails.com.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560. The Answer.
So what we're talking about today is the appropriate response of our government, of the people responsible for keeping us safe, to the Orlando attack. Now, if I were president, well, the Orlando attack wouldn't have happened, but let's assume I'd just been elected, hadn't had time to take care of things. I would come up and place the blame exactly where it is. I place the blame squarely on Islamic fundamentalists. And I would warn every Islamist, every jihadist in the world, no matter where they lived, no matter what under which government they were under, no matter whether they were religious or less religious, whether they were a imam or whether they were a king or whether they were part of a royal family, that they were my target. And as I said, I would make a list of all the countries and all the organizations advocating for this ideology. And I would make it very clear to them what would happen. I would crush them. I would destroy them so that they would learn that Allah is not on their side. They would learn that if Allah, if they really believe in an Allah, then Allah wouldn't let them be defeated to the extent that America would defeat them, would crush them, would destroy them. You would obviously start with ISIS. And I would stop this ridiculous we drop pamphlets and we bomb only here and we don't bomb over there. I would go in and wipe them out. If that meant troops on the ground, then so be it, troops on the ground. ISIS cannot be allowed to exist. As long as it exists, it will inspire nihilists, crazies like this guy in Orlando to do what they did. As long as they hold territory, they are considered a success. It is considered that Allah is on their side and they are winning. I would go there and I would devastate them, find their supreme leader and hang him publicly. I would make it clear that if you kill Americans, you will be destroyed. If you advocate for killing Americans, you will be destroyed. And then I would turn to Saudi Arabia. And I would tell the royal family of Saudi Arabia, tell us something very simple. You wanna stay where you are? You wanna keep enjoying all that money and all that, the trips to Monte Carlo, the trips to the U.S. to do your shopping and everything? Then you shut the Wahhabis down. You shut down the religious fanatics. You shut down the funding of terrorism. You stop preaching the nihilist violence that you are teaching. You stop it now, or we will come in and we will replace you. And we will bomb Mecca and Medina. We will take that black rock that you worship and we will turn it into dust. And then it's up to Saudis. They either behave, they either shut down the charities, they eliminate those people within the royal family who are funding terrorism, because they're funding terrorism, let me no mistake. They get rid of the Wahhabi preachers who are preaching this stuff. By the way, every radicalized mosque in the United States, every radicalized mosque in Europe, every radicalized mosque in Pakistan, in those madrasas that have radicalized so many of the Taliban, almost every single one of them is funded by the Saudis. The other ones are funded by Iran. Iran and Saudi Arabia fund all of the radicalization going on in the world. It's very simple. $1 we can track from Saudi Arabia to one of these mosques. $1. We can track from Saudi Arabia to funding these radicals, and we will crush you militarily. Troops on the ground, bombs from the air, crush you. And then the same thing has to be said to the Iranians. That's it. Iran, Saudi Arabia. And then I'd say to the Israelis, look, I know for years we've been holding you back. We've been arguing for you to be cautious and not to be too aggressive with Hamas and Hezbollah. Please go there and destroy them. Destroy their military infrastructure, destroy their political leadership. There should not be a Hamas and Hezbollah when you're done. And we should tell the Islamic Jihad, any group out there, that if they support these ideas of Islamic totalitarianism, of jihadism, we will crush you. We will wipe you up. Now, they will be defeated. We have the military capabilities to do this relatively easily. And we fought wars the way wars are supposed to be fought. Casualties on our side would be minimal, very small. If we fought like Patton and Sherman and MacArthur fought, oh my God, bring hell on these people, they would stop. And then you wouldn't have self-radicalized people. They wouldn't be inspired to go fight for losing ideology, for losing cause. Nobody does that. So people say to me, Yaron, what are you talking about? Attacking Saudi Arabia is not going to change what happened in Orlando, what happened in San Bernardino. Sure it will. It will take away the sanction. It will take away the permission that these countries, that this religion, that these organizations grant these people. It will take away the idea that they're going to go to heaven and become martyrs, because they will see that their ideology is a loser. They will see that their ideology will lead nothing but death to their own people. They will see that America is no longer a paper tiger, and we won't just sit on our hands while our people are slaughtered. But is there one politician anywhere who is going to say any of this? No. No. And I wouldn't close the border, because I'm not afraid of Muslims coming to this country. Right? Not if I fight the war properly. Not if it's clear that they are being destroyed. By the way, the first thing I would do is declare war. Right? That's what Congress should do. That's its responsibility. All right. You're listening to the Objectivist Radical. You're on Brooke. We'll be right back after this break.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority, or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Roark, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Roark, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today at Amazon.com.
Raj Shah, host of Secure Retirement Radio.
I believe not only in protecting your retirement and making the growth going forward, but also having a tax-efficient retirement as well, because you want your retirement portfolios to generate an income stream that will last for your life, for your spouse's life, and if you have kids, that will pass on to the next generation as well.
Tune in for Secure Retirement Radio with Raj Shah, Sunday mornings at 7 here on AM 560, The Answer.
Mike Rowe here for 1 hour. Today, Chuck is jogging in place to make a point about energy efficiency.
I thought I was training for a marathon.
He's been at it now for...
3 minutes.
And already, he's wearing out.
I'm not.
Your heating and air conditioning systems are a lot like Chuck.
Warm, yet somehow cool.
Wheezing, wasting energy, and probably headed for replacement.
You're talking about the air systems, right?
Sure, pal. Sure. Call 1 hour before it's too late.
Can you do the disclaimer for me?
Each independent franchise is licensed in its respective state or county.
Thanks.
Yaron Brooke, executive director of the Ayn Rand Institute, speaks to audiences around the world, promoting Ayn Rand's ideas in talks and books. Now, he's on your radio, here on AM 560, The Answer.
So what makes this show different is that we approach everything from a very fundamental, clear philosophy. I am an advocate of reason and an advocate of individualism. So I believe we can analyze the situation. We can figure out the facts. We can figure out who's responsible. We can take action. So we have the capabilities. That is our mind. That is our reasoning capacity. That it means being rational. But I also believe that you have to stand up for yourself. If you believe that your life is the most important thing to you, which I believe my life is, every other value I have, I measure against my life. Good is that which makes my life better. Bad is that which hurts my life. Now, not only my life, because part of my life means I love a certain number of people. And those people are part of my life. You can't hurt them either. So I believe in having pride in your own life, in being committed to your own life, and having self-esteem. And therefore, when somebody threatens my life, I'm not just going to sit on my hands. I'm not just going to pretend it doesn't happen. I'm not going to pretend they're not really going to do it. I will do everything in my power to protect myself. That's what it means to have self-esteem. That's what it means to have self-esteem. That's what the founders of this country believed in. Their liberty was threatened by a king, by a leader of the mightiest military force known to man at that point in time. And they went to war to protect their liberty against a military far superior to their own. They had the balls, but more importantly, they had the self-esteem. It's not just courage. It's confidence in your worth, in your own worth. My life is worth fighting for. And if we Americans believed that our lives were worth fighting for, if we Americans believed that this country was worth fighting for, this country as a symbol of freedom was worth fighting for, then we wouldn't tolerate politicians who want to blame guns in the hands of good guys for the tragedy. We wouldn't tolerate politicians who want to listen into our phone calls as a response to this tragedy. We wouldn't tolerate politicians who won't name the enemy. We wouldn't tolerate politicians who want to build borders around this country, who want to build walls around this country. We would demand politicians. We demand politicians who wanted to defend this country and to do anything in their power to defend this country, to fight for this country. But we don't have it anymore. We do not have it anymore. We don't have a belief in our country, but more importantly, we don't have a belief in ourselves. We don't believe deep down, that our lives are worth fighting for. These multiculturalists, these subjectivists have led us to believe, oh, all lives, you know, who are you versus somebody in Saudi Arabia? Why is your life more important? They have their ideas. You have your ideas. Who said one's more important than the other, more right than the other, worth fighting for more than the other? This moral subjectivism, this who are we as human beings, this turn the other cheek, love your enemy like yourself, right and left, they want to push us down. Me, I believe in egoism. I believe in living my own life for myself and defending myself as a consequence. I believe in reason, in individualism, in self-defense, taking the war to the enemy and winning it.
This You're listening to Yaron Brook Show. Brook Show. With your radical for capitalism host, Yaron Brook. Keep the discussion going. Log on to AynRand.org, your portal to the Ayn Rand Institute. Learn how to apply Ayn Rand's principles in your own life. And make sure you tune in next Saturday afternoon at 4 for another hour of dynamic Ayn Rand discussion. The Yaron Brook Show on AM 560. The Answer.
The Ayn Rand Institute campus is an exciting online destination offering free e-courses on Ayn Rand and her revolutionary philosophy of objectivism. Whether you recently picked up your first Rand book or have been reading her novels and nonfiction for years, ARI Campus.